the studio cam and live chat room.
Last week they were late after their turkey dinner, and I don't know what held them up this time. Is the Bing Crosby music emanating from LVRocks.com there. I thought the everything would break down here. That's a kind of an old guy here to be playing his music. But anyway, this is Subject to Discussion live in LVRocks.com. Tuesday at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock if you're in the central time zone in Chicago, or 9 o'clock if you're in the eastern time zone in New York. And it's colder than a well digger's ass out there, I'd say. And the website is subject2discussion.com. Email is subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. And my printer ran out of ink today, so I had to write down my notes. So I'm really screwed now because I can't read my own handwriting. But it's been long enough. I should be able to read my own handwriting. Anyway, of course, this is the new format of the program. When we start off, I'll start off with the news to me. It was suggested I start off with some news to me from the week, what I felt was news to me. Then we'll go to the news to you. And then Justin from the Dunkelfin blog will be on with the political discussion. And then in the second hour, it'll be Natalie Davis from the blogcritics.org with our pop culture discussion. And then Judy's coming back at the end of the second hour from the sciencefictionbuzz.com website, and she'll be on with her science fiction report discussion and everything like that. And also the program is podcasted on lvrocks.com. And I want to thank everybody for listening live and also on podcast. The podcast shot up again last week. Thank you very much. And you go to lvrocks.com, and on the left-hand side of the screen is podcast. Click on that. It brings you over to where all the programs are podcasted from, and then you can pick and choose what you want to listen to there. And then it's archived. The program is archived over on spankwagon.net, and Spankwagon's on every Friday from 7 until 9 Pacific time, followed by King Hesh. And first of all, you know, there's some huge breaking news there that Valerie Bertinelli and what the hell's his name are getting divorced after, and Eddie Van Halen are divorcing here. Where are we at here? Yes, Bertinelli divorcing rocker Eddie Van Halen after 24 years of marriage. Wow. So that's pretty big news. What's with all these celebrities getting divorced now? I mean, I don't know. I still think that Nick Lachey is an idiot for throwing Jessica Simpson over. I mean, she made, what, $38 million last year. She's hot. She's a ditz, which makes you look like a genius. I think he's a fool for throwing her over. But anyway, so we'll see what happens with that. And I want to just go through some things I found were news to me from the week before we get to the news to you. First of all, of course, today was the shattering news about Valerie Bertinelli and all that. And then yesterday, about Howard Dean, he was on a radio show saying that the United States will not win the war in Iraq. And, of course, you know, all hell broke loose about that. How dare he say that? I think he meant to say the war on terrorism, because I don't know how you're going to defeat terrorism. You know, is there some head of state of terrorism that's going to sign the peace accord or what? I'm not sure. So I think that's where he was going, but I think he just, you know, I always said before, Howard Dean should just shut up and run the party and stop coming out there and making all these boneheaded remarks and, you know, getting everybody, you know, rile everybody up. I mean, the Democrats got enough problems. They don't need Dean out there throwing gas on the fire. Between him and you got Harry Reid, who always, you know, he called Bush a liar or something last year, earlier in the year. So, and then the RNC chair, Melman, fired back at Dean. So, I mean, it's the same old BS in Washington. And then he had a Time magazine poll that said 38% approve of Bush's handling of Iraq and 60% disapprove. And then he had spokesperson David Wade for John Kerry. He called Melman a draft dodger and Rush Limbaugh a donut-eating talk show host. So that's going to help the discussion, help the civic discussion, our political affairs. And then Monday we had I had something here from USA Today about the economy's good news and bad news. Some of the good news is the consumer confidence index is up this month versus last month. The gross domestic product is up a little bit. There's jobs growth. There's growth in the productivity. But the not so good news is the gain of wages versus inflation. That's been down. Of course, gas is up. Personal savings rates are only 1.9% of people are saving their money. 1.9% of their money that they earn is being saved, versus from the 90s is 5.2% of their money. Well, we're spending more money on gas and electricity. Now here, Nevada Power says they're going to jack up the rates here again. And then the trade deficit is up as well. So there's some good and bad news on the economy. And then Monday we had the 9/11 Commission giving the government an F on several issues. One of them is there's no set channel for first responders, and an F for not scanning cargo going to the bottom of the planes. So they're all rallying up over that, and it was their last official meeting. So now the group has been officially, how many times they have to officially disband, but I guess they've been officially disbanded now. And then Sunday, going into Monday, you had ABC News announcing that Elizabeth Vargas, who's very hot, and Bob Woodruff are going to replace Peter Jennings on World News Tonight starting January 3rd, and they're going to have a West Coast edition, which will be live, and also they're going to have a webcast. They're going to do the news on a webcast as well. So, that's good for them, I guess. And there's still everybody's waiting on pins and needles about Katie Couric, if she's going to jump over to CBS and take over their news over there. So that's coming. I think she's probably going to take the job, because think about it. She has to sit through doing the Today Show for 3 hours a day versus only doing a 30-minute newscast on CBS, and she gets to sleep later. So I think she's going to go for it. And then Saturday, you had Mayor Nagin of New Orleans, who was in Atlanta, pleading with his citizens to come back. Like I said before, the man's in search of a constituency, because right now the city only has a population of roughly 400,000, less than its 1 million it had before the hurricanes hit. So, a mayor of a city with a population of barely 400,000 has less prominence than a mayor of a city of over a million people. So I think that's all he's going for. And then he had also Friday, I was listening to Jerry Doyle's program. Of course, Jerry Doyle is Michael Garibaldi on Babylon 5. Which they remind you every hour on his program. The woman, he had an audio of a woman calling 911 outside of a Burger King because of that. They did not make her burger the right way, and wanting the police to come down and make Burger King get her order fixed. So, I mean, what the hell? Even the 911 dispatcher, she goes, "Ma'am, we're not going to send the officers down there to have Burger King fix your Black Angus cheeseburger the right way.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Does that suck?
Yeah, the dispatcher said, "You go in there, you talk to the manager, act like a grown-up, and get your order fixed." So, I mean, the audio was unbelievable. This ditz call 911 about a hamburger. Anyway, and then on Friday we also had the President Bush trotted out his economic picture, rosy economic picture, saying there are 215,000 new jobs created. But what happened to those jobs that were lost in the South with the hurricane? And then Alan Greenspan said that the deficit is a danger to the economy. Of course, everybody's ignoring the deficit. We're just spending the money. And also on Friday, we had Nightline with Terry Moran in Iraq. And he gathered a group of Iraqis together. And one guy he had there said that the bloodshed in Iraq will not stop until the American troops are gone from Iraq. And what else? That program's getting bashed as being too magazine-ish since Koppel left. I don't know how they could have not changed the program with him gone. So I personally like Nightline now. So, and then Thursday, that roadside bomb killed those poor 10 U.S. Marines and wounded 11 others in a nighttime foot patrol in Iraq. And then Wednesday, we had that speech by President Bush. I stole this one from Ross Perot. All sizzle, but no bacon. We talked about the plan for victory in Iraq and all this, but it's the same stuff. It's all his recycled speeches. And then Saturday Night Live, on their news weekend update, they said that the new study says that binge drinking later in life leads to dementia. And the name of that study is Victory in Iraq. So they're saying that, you know, Bush is getting a little dementia with the Victory in Iraq study. I don't know. And then also Bill O'Reilly had his enemies list, and then his enemies list includes MSNBC. Which I think is a big mistake there. I mean, I like Hardball. I listen to, I watch Countdown with Oberman. I think he's a pretty good guy. And he does that radio show with Dan Patrick now. So, I don't know. So, but anyway, that was the news to me. And now we'll move on to the news to you. This is from today. We had a brother of an NBA star dies in Southside shooting in Chicago. The brother of an NBA star died of a shooting, and shooting during a robbery in Chicago's Southside. This is, what's his name? Lee Richardson, which is the brother of the New York Knicks forward Quentin Richardson. He died after a robbery. The Richardsons just parked Lee Jr.'s late model Lexus SUV in the garage. Whoa. And we're about to enter the home, and a gunman approached virtually at high noon. So this is a daytime robbery. Anyway, they, as a younger Richardson looked up from his prone position and was shot four times. So they took the car. The car crashed at 87th in California, which is close to where we used to have a tavern there on 63rd in California. It used to be an Irish neighborhood. Now it's you got to go through there with a tank, if you know what I mean. But they arrested three suspects, yada, yada, yada. So Quentin Richardson, he went to DePaul University in Chicago, and now, of course, he plays for the Knicks. And what else? And also, this is from today, from Romania and Poland are scrutinized over prisons. Romania and Poland are stalwart allies in U.S. Global war on terrorism. Turns out now, according to ABC News, that they actually have these secret CIA prisons. ABC News reported Monday night that two secret CIA prisons in Eastern Europe were closed last month, and 11 al-Qaeda suspects were transferred to a facility in North Africa. The report, which ABC attributed to current and former CIA officers, spoke on a condition of anonymity, said the prisons were shut down after Human Rights Watch said it had evidence suggesting such facilities existed in Romania and Poland. So, And also, they have officials in Algeria and Tunisia had no immediate comments. We don't know if those countries are having CIA prisons in their country. So, I like how Rice, Condoleezza Rice, is not denying any of this stuff. I think it's ridiculous that we're using all these other countries holding these people. Well, can't we hold them in Iraq, for crying out loud? That's where, can't we get some piece of the desert and have a prison there? So, and this is also from today. Man jailed for beheading a gecko. This is from Port Purvis, Jervis, New York. Police said a 19-year-old man bit off the head of a gecko for $10, and now he's behind bars for being charged with animal cruelty. Derek Ford was a friend's
home.
Yeah, he's at his home, a friend's home Sunday when someone bet him $10 he wouldn't bite the head off a gecko, a small lizard, and doesn't he have an insurance company too?
Brilliant.
Though Ford won the bet, it wasn't long before the police showed up and placed him under arrest. So how'd you like to be one of his friends? Him having known one of his friends turned him in for biting the head off the lizard. So I don't know. And there we go. This is from Parma, Ohio. Parma neighbors set up fund to save resident stray dog. And dog has wandered the neighborhood for years. Manage the diseases that dog might be carrying. A lovable stray dog that has wandered the streets of Parma neighborhood for years is in danger of being taken to a local shelter. The community is now coming together trying to save Buddy the dog. For years, Buddy roamed the streets of the Parma neighborhood. How come nobody took the damn dog in? They love him so much. No, how come nobody took him in? He's called many places home, even though he is technically homeless. Some woman found the dog sleeping in her bushes years ago. Some neighbors leave their garages up part way so the dog can go in there and sleep. I mean, nobody thought to take the damn dog in, I guess. But they say that the shelter is going to take the dog in, but they say that the idea of it getting a dog getting adopted won't happen because the dog's been astray for too long. So, I don't know, whatever. And this one's from Valparaiso, Indiana. Three 12-year-old boys accused of placing pipe bombs near homes. Police say 12-year-old boys made pipe bombs and placed them at two northwestern Indiana homes. None of the bombs exploded, and no injuries were reported. The two boys were 12 years old. It's ridiculous. They reached charge yesterday in Porter County Juvenile Court with one count of possession of an explosive device that would be a felony offense in adult court. So, and they learned, look at this, the kids, the boys learned, allegedly told the investigators, they learned to make the bombs from their classmates. So, what are they teaching them in Valparaiso? How to make bomb building 101, I guess. But, amazing. And then we had this, this one's from, where's that from here? I don't know, somewhere in Boston, 35 miles northeast of Boston. Name change pending for Dummer School. Jokes about Governor Dummer Academy, the nation's oldest independent boarding school, about to become history. The Newberry School's Board of Trustees votes yesterday, Saturday, to shed Dummer and change the name to Governor's Academy. Governor Dummer Academy will remain the elite institution's legal name, but his business name is going to be changed to Governor, the Governor's Academy. Where was this? How much it cost to go to this school? The school, situated in a coastal town about 35 miles northeast of Boston, has a $61 million endowment. Live-in students, who make up about two-thirds of the school's 370 students, pay more than $33,000 a year in tuition. Day students pay $26,000 a year in tuition. Wow. Yeah, I never had a school like that where I was growing up. I went to Catholic school. Catholic school came in and whacked with those damn rulers by those nuns. This is from Sunday, from Canada, from Ontario, about sexsomnia. The Canadian province of Ontario plans to review a court decision that acquitted a man of sexual assault charges because he suffers from, from sexsomnia and was asleep at the time of the incident.
Oh,
yeah. The office of the Attorney General, which oversees blah, 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 Jan Lidecki, 33 years old, was acquitted of sexual assault charges on Tuesday because he said he was asleep during the attack. How the hell can you be asleep and having sex? A sleep expert testified that Lidecki suffers from a disorder that causes sexsomnia, involuntary sexual behavior during sleep, which he had experienced before. I don't know.
And I'm happy I'm the next.
The court heard that Lidecki and a female victim met at a party. She testified she fell asleep and woke up to find Lidecki having sex with her. Maybe she was has sleep somnia too. I don't know. She pushed him away and called the police. This guy confessed to the police after he discovered he was still wearing a condom and realized he had sex. So, I don't know. This guy... crazy. How the hell do you have sexsomnia? I don't understand it at all. Unbelievable.
That's an interesting piece of strange.
And there's another one, too. School news magazine sparks controversy with oral sex issue. This is from Columbus, Indiana. What is this with Indiana? Controversy is brewing in Columbus surrounding the topic of oral sex.
Laughable, man.
There you go. It stems from an article written by students in the Columbus North Triangle, a school news magazine. These are 10th and 11th graders, by the way. The publication contains a section that talks about oral sex and includes statistics, definitions, and student interviews. The topic is students reading every word. Oh, I bet they are. In the article, a 10th grader talks about his first time having oral sex, saying he didn't think it was that big of a deal. An 11th grader said she felt used and cheap. There are four, I don't know, so this, of course the adults are all up in arms because the school let the students write these articles about oral sex in their school newspaper. So they'll be popular along senior prom comes along, I bet. This is from Euless, Texas. Euless pastor charged after allegedly molesting younger man. Police say a 68-year-old pastor has been arrested for allegedly molesting a 21-year-old man.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Yeah, this one here, I don't know about this one. I can see the younger kids, but this guy should have known better and be able to fight his way off. You can fight off a 68-year-old man, for crying out loud. The Reverend James Leonard Finley, senior pastor of the First United Methodist Church of Euless, was arrested Thursday, authorities said. Authorities said he fondled the alleged victim against the man's wishes while he was home alone. And they said, the police say the man was left crying in the apartment he shares with his mother. He immediately called the police. Authorities later recorded... why the hell did they record him? Authorities later recorded Finley offering to perform sex acts on the man. The Euless detective said that Finley had previously given money to the alleged victim's family to help them with bills. So I guess they had felt the pastor was felt he is entitled to interest on the payments for those bills, I guess. I don't know. That is weird, but you're 21 years old. You should be able to fight off a 68-year-old priest, I would think. I don't know. It's just me. And this next one, priest accused of sex crimes. Phoenix Monsignor arrested on 10 counts. Monsignor Dale Fishek was once one of the most popular and powerful priests in the Phoenix diocese. He was accused of sexual misconduct with teenage boys and young men. In announcing Fishek's arrest on 10 misdemeanor criminal counts, blah, blah, Maricopa. Whoa, that sheriff there, he's a tough guy. So he goes into that prison, he was wearing those pink panties. It's trouble if... At least three priests accused of sexual abuse in the valley. They fled the country and have refused to return to face charges. More than a dozen Catholic priests in Phoenix have been accused, either in civil lawsuits or criminal complaints. Let's see. O'Brien, who is one of the priests named, former bishop, O'Brien signed an agreement granting him immunity from criminal charges in exchange for admissions. They allowed priests accused of sexual misconduct to work with minors, and that he transferred clergy accused of sexual abuse without telling their supervisor or parishioners of the allegations against them. Lovely, lovely. Where's the ending of this thing? Fishek initiated all the incidents as a means of self-gratification. The investigation began in the wake of a civil lawsuit in January. William Cicilline accused Fishek of witnessing a sexual assault against him by an error priest. So, yuck. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So now not only are they covering up, but they're sending him out of the country so they don't have to come back and face the music. So, unbelievable. And this next one is a poll. Arab distrust of U.S. growing. This is from AlJazeera.net. People in Arab nations believe the Iraq war has brought less peace and more terrorism, and contrary to Washington's claims, will result in less democracy, a new poll indicates. Like that woman on there today testifying in the Saddam Hussein trial. I mean, behind the curtain and all everything else, she was tell about the abuse. They stripped her of her clothes and all this stuff. I mean, they're like, man. And then Saddam went off on a tangent. He told the priest to go, or the priest, the judge to go to hell and everything. So amazing. But I say he is dying his hair black. He must have some Grecian formula there. Anyway, the survey of six Arab countries also found a plurality of respondents got their news from Al Jazeera, currently at the center of a storm over an alleged, of course, U.S. idea to bomb its headquarters. So, unbelievable. And this is from Saturday, another one that got away from me here. Heiress to Onassis fortune weds Olympian. Greek billionaire Athena Roussel Onassis married a Brazilian Olympic equestrian Saturday night in a palm tree lined estate, celebrating with more than 1,000 bottles of champagne. Wow. So we know about her. Her mother was the daughter of Aristotle Onassis, who was married to Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. So now the woman is worth $2.7 billion from her grandfather on her 18th birthday. She inherited all that money, so she's like the richest woman in the world, or of her age. But imagine that, $2.7 billion, unbelievable. But she has no mother, no grandfather. So I mean, some of that, all that money comes with misery. So now she lives in Sao Paulo, and She lives in a 10,650-square-foot apartment with Miranda, her and Vivani, his 6-year-old daughter from a previous marriage. So 10,000-square-foot apartment, that's got to be one hell of a place, huh? I don't know. And U.S. promises to clarify reports on CIA prisons in Europe. I hope so. This is going to be a nightmare. This is going to be one nightmare if all this comes out to be true. Oh, man. U.S. promises, here we go, faced with mounting pressure from the EU, Condoleezza Rice promised on Tuesday to clarify reports that the CIA is running secret prisons and they won't say no. So they're doing coming this new term called rendition. That they're not torturing, just renditioning the suspects. What the hell does that mean? Rendition means torture, right? I don't know.
You are stuck on stupid.
Yeah. The United States realizes that these topics are generating interest among European publics as well as parliaments. Yeah, these countries are pissed. The EU has said that Jack Straw has sent a letter on behalf of the EU to Washington seeking clarification, and the EU is threatening to cut off voting for the EU members that are found to be harboring U.S. secret CIA prisons in their country. So, I mean, you got to know that this stuff is true, or they would have said no. Rice is not saying no. Bush is hemming and hawing. So, I don't know. part of the problem is that CIA couldn't keep this quiet, you know, and they can't blame the press. Oh, it's the press's fault. Well, somebody had to tell the press, you know. So anyway, Poland keeps on denying it. So of course, Poland's denying they have anything. They don't have a torture prison. They have a rendition. Yeah, that's what they call it. It says Poland. A quote here from the former Polish president Kwasniewski. Poland has never hosted any prisoner of the CIA in the country. CIA planes, some of them known to be implicated in the practice of rendition, have also been seen in airports across Europe, including Poland, Romania, Sweden, Norway, Iceland, Netherlands, Spain, Germany, and Malta. So, man, they're all going to be madder than hell if all this turns out to be true. And the United Nations is hopeful of Darfur deal, and this is from Al Jazeera, an agreement by the end of the year on a sustained ceasefire in the Darfur region is a possible but difficult, according to the United Nations top envoy in the Sudan. Jane Pronk said on Friday that the two main rebel groups and the Sudanese government, which started a seventh round of talks in Nigeria this week, remain distant on many issues on the negotiating table, including sharing power and oil wealth. So that'll get them to the table, sharing that oil money. So I said, hey, Iraq should do the same thing. I treat Iraq like it was Alaska. Give every citizen in Iraq a share of the oil profits and make them feel like they're a stakeholder in the sake of the government. They won't be so eager to blow up those oil pipelines or anything. And our troops, we should back out of it's the cities of Iraq. We should get on the borders and protect the borders from these Syrians and all them climbing over the borders into Iraq. And that's what we should. We should let Iraq take care of its own people inside the country. We should just be guarding the damn border. But anyway, so hopefully things will calm down over there in Darfur region, because all those killings and cleansing and all that going on, it's ridiculous. This is from Saturday, from Marion, Indiana. All this Indiana news. Man throws out hot meat during a police pursuit. A man who police said stole several pounds of steaks and roasts from a grocery store threw much of the meat out of his car during a pursuit with officers.
You are one pathetic loser.
There you go. There he is. Police spent about 90 minutes Wednesday retrieving the stolen meat from the streets of the city about halfway between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. Employees at Lance's New Market phoned police shortly before 10 a.m. to report a shoplifter. And his name was Johnny McRae. He grabbed 19 packages of meat, some weighing more than a pound, and left the store. But as he was driving, of course, he was tossing the meat out of the car. So, I don't know. Make the fur fly, the meat fly, I don't know. This next one is from Saturday. Family on the way to receiving compensation for Nazi theft. A German retailer's announcement that will drop claims to three properties stolen during the Nazi era clears the way for an Illinois man and his family to receive more than $100 million in compensation. Wow. Oh, man. Marty Wertham of Lake in the Hills and his Aunt Barbara of New Jersey are the main heirs of the Wertheim family, which owned department stores in Germany before Hitler came to power in 1933. As Jews, the Wertheim family lost the property during the Nazi era, and Hitler used some of the Berlin land for his chancellery and downtown bunker complex. After World War II, the company was sold and eventually became one of Germany's most successful retailers. This is a German retailing giant, Karstadt Kelle, acquired the company in 1993. So, wow, $100 million. That's unbelievable. But there's some land that the department store chain is not going to give up so easily. There's, three parcels that they're going to fight for. So that's amazing how there's still, all these years after Hitler and all that, there's still stuff going on with this theft and all this stuff. It's amazing. How the history affects the present. I always get amazed how much of the past is affecting the present. You know, it's Hitler, it's racism, it's BS in Washington. I mean, it's amazing. Europeans prefer Russia as EU member over Turkey. European citizens would rather see Ukraine and Russia enter the EU rather than Turkey. Excuse me, a French poll suggests, but less than half of Ukrainians themselves back EU membership. A survey conducted by French polling firm TNS for the Ukrainian strategy network, blah, blah, blah. They polled 1,000 people in each of EU's six largest countries, Germany, France, Italy, Poland, Spain, and the UK, were asked about the blah, blah, blah. So they said that they'd rather have the Ukraine and Russia in the EU versus Turkey. So I don't know about that. But Kiev and Moscow got a yes from 51% and 45% of respondents, respectively. So I don't know. I wish they'd let them in, let Turkey into the damn EU, because it modernized that part of the world, and it'd be a foothold for the EU into the Middle East, and maybe we'll calm things down over there. What else? And I had a story I wanted to get to before Justin came on. He let me touch on this before, about this Kansas City professor attacked along a rural road. This is a college professor whose planned courses on creationism and the intelligent design was canceled after he derided Christian conservatives and said he was beaten by two men along a rural road on Monday. This is ridiculous. Why can't you have a hold a damn class anything you want, and these guys, idiots, got to beat them up for going to offer a class? University of Kansas religious studies professor Paul Marecki said the man referred to the class when they beat him on the head, shoulders, and back with their fists, and possibly a metal object, the Lawrence Journal World reported. So, I mean, this, yeah, crazy. But some of this stuff he may have brought on himself. It says, Marecki asked the university to cancel the class after he created a furor by sending an email to a student organization mocking Christian fundamentalists. Marecki had referred to the religious conservatives as fundies and said a course describing intelligent design as mythology would be a nice slap in their big fat face. All right, and he has apologized. Okay, with the black eye and the bruised neck, of course he'd be apologizing. So anyway, I think we're ready for Justin from the Dunkelvin. Yeah, I think Justin's there.
Sean.
Oh, wait a minute. I think we have our sound effects for you. Hold on. There he is. Where's? Oh, I think we lost the elephant though. There's the donkey. That's right. The last time you were on, the donkey gored the elephant, right?
I think so. I think we agreed that the donkey got shoved up the elephant's ass.
The donkey. Yeah,
yeah, that's what it sounded like.
I think Howard Dean should get something shoved up his ass. There you go.
But,
because Dean just got a mouth that won't stop. You know, he's like diarrhea of the mouth. You know. There you go. And so whoop. Go ahead.
Your mic
wasn't on there. What's going on here?
Can you hear me?
I don't know.
Oh.
I was going to say, it kind of sounds like Godzilla.
That sounds like King Kong. Cheap plug. There you go. I'll send my bill to Peter Jackson for the plug. There you go. So
yeah, that last one was me. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, sorry. So now, about that professor in Kansas with the want to teach a class. Sound like a Wookiee. He said, sound like a Wookiee. Darth Marley said, sound like a Wookiee. There you go.
No, just one more time. There
you go.
And scene.
There you go. So what about that? What about that teacher getting beat the hell out of trying to teach a class about creationism? All that's ridiculous. You know.
It seems like they wanted to intelligently design his face.
Yeah.
Like, after that, I mean, I like how you said he might have had it coming since he sent out an email.
Well, I mean, we poking fun of him, but call him fundies, and what else they said?
Well, sure,
in their big fat face.
I mean,
what
come
the?
On, Sean.
I know, but I'm just saying, though. I mean, you know, words. People get so inflamed over words these days. That's what I mean. You know, because
right.
It says Marecki had referred to religious conservatives as fundies. You know, they hate that. You know, same thing that, you know, you know, non-believers, although I'm an agnostic, you're a damn atheist. Yeah, I'm not an atheist. I'm kind of in the middle. And said, of course, you know, and he said a slap in their big fat face. I mean, that's kind of, I'm like, oh, man, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, here's the deal. I think the deal with that is that he, since he sent out that email, he got disciplined, and his class got canceled, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he took a stance. A fairly strong stance, and he got called out for it, and his class got canceled. But then, you know, I mean, to follow him down a road,
yeah,
and like, you know, basically just have him pull over and then beat the crap out of him. I mean, it doesn't, you know, that doesn't really seem like it fits into those Christian values, those Christian fundamentalist values. But I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I haven't been to church in a while, so
yeah. Well, only time I go to a church is when there's a funeral or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so what you want to talk about, about the newspapers,
the pay-per-play
over in Iraq there? Well,
yeah, it was really unfortunate to hear about this, because there's so many other types of, like, psyops types of things that they can do to create, let's say, I mean, I know this is kind of a cheap PR word, but to create, you know, buzz. right? That things are going well. And then instead they decide to pay newspapers, which I think is really a bad, bad move because, you know, Iraqis want to, they need to trust their media too. Mm. And once they hear about this this news, this basically this pay-for-play stuff, you know, I think that they might go to other news sources that might not be as reputable and might be a little bit more, how should I say this, in bed with the, you know, terrorists, yeah. Right? Mm. I mean, you know, because if you know that your country's newspapers are essentially being paid off by the United States government,
mm.
I think that sets up a really bad precedent.
Yeah, how did this story come out, though? As I say, with this thing with these supposedly non-existent prisons, rendition centers, whatever the hell they're calling now, in Europe, and now this thing with newspapers, I mean, can't the CIA and the military keep things like this quiet anymore? Are we in such an information age right now that nothing could be kept secret anymore?
No, I think that there is stuff that's kept secret, but I think that there's other stuff where people just basically selectively say, you know what, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that right? Right? I mean, if this stuff is classified, then is that right? But you know, all this stuff gets out. You know, Abu Ghraib, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that stuff was, you know, was classified.
Yeah.
Right. But it gets out, and sometimes these stories need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, regardless of whether you know somebody is going to get you know in trouble for it or not, I don't know. But you know, U.S. military paying Iraqi newspapers to run stories, even if the facts are accurate, is just a bad move. And they should have seen three steps out, you know, how this could play out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody came out and they said, well, they should have put down as an advertisement paid for by blah, like a disclaimer at the bottom of these articles. You know, I'm like, well, it's not like they're trying to, you know, close the barn door after the horses got out. I mean, I don't think that's, you know, I don't know if they really intended for that to happen or just they said that just to try and cover it up. What do you think?
Oh, well, you mean are you saying that they said that? No, yeah, I don't believe that. I mean, if they're saying that the Iraqi newspapers essentially mm-hmm. forgot to, you know, run at the bottom. Yeah, all of them.
All of
I mean,
them forgot
on.
To do that. Yeah, they need Lou Grant over there to run their newspapers, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, here's the deal. It's like that, and the military's looking into it right now, and I guess that they've talked about that. You know, if you're going to have this type of thing go on, mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to manipulate the media, then expect for somebody within the media to kind of say, hey, this is screwed up. I mean, I don't know who the source is. I didn't see that in the story.
No.
But it could very well be somebody working within one of these Iraqi papers.
Probably.
You
probably.
Know? I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be on the military side.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, is that a classified thing? Is that person going to get in trouble just for saying, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. You know, they're paying for stories. I don't think so.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, we've had problems with that here with what the hell's his name?
Armstrong Williams.
Yeah, Armstrong Williams, yeah. And that woman and you know all this stuff. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's gone on in previous administrations. Just that this one we're hearing about it more because you know the information age is so you know it happens. You know, right now you'll be on the internet in 2 minutes. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think it should be noted that the Bush administration when they came in. They hired basically double the PR staff of the previous administration. So you have I think essentially what's happening is you have people who, you have more people working on more projects and they are like, they think that they can sort of bend the unwritten rules and then they get bit in the ass by it.
Yeah. Well, I wish the Bush administration would send me a couple hundred thousand. I'd be glad to sing their praises. You know?
Would you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, hell yeah. Give me a couple hundred thousand.
You got some credit card bills? Do you?
I don't know, but I mean, it's. I just think it's. I don't know. I mean, it's goofy.
It's really a small story, yeah.
But I mean, these small stories all start adding up. You know, it's that, and then it's now it's these secret prisons or rendition centers we're having. You know, and then you know, it's a pick. I mean, I don't know. It seems like we make some progress, and there's always something that pulls us back. Like now, there's like more Abu Ghraib photos are supposed to be, I don't know, somebody's fighting to release them. I don't know who. I saw it on O'Reilly last week. So more of that's kind of going to come out now. So, I mean, it's like, why can't we just get this stuff behind us and move forward, you know?
Well, because it keeps coming out.
Yeah.
It keeps happening. We keep finding out that there are these kind of just weird little things that are happening. And I can't say that this stuff hasn't happened in other wars. I'm sure it has.
We never knew about it, though.
But now we're entering into a different type of world.
Yeah.
It's an information age. The knowledge just gets disseminated so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just out there, and sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. But I think that in order for any type of administration to really effectively fight essentially a war on an idea or a tactic,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
they're going to need to get with the program as far as, you know, making sure that they can harness that information age and know exactly how to control it, but not with the old means,
mm-hmm.
not with the propaganda means.
Mm-hmm.
But with new means, honest means, right? They haven't really effectively done that yet.
No. And then, Darth Marley in the chat room saying, Rummy said there were worse photos back last year, so I don't think we've seen those photos yet. So,
oh, there are. There are video. There are photos, and there are also videos, and
there
are really bad things.
Oh.
All you have to do is look at anything that Seymour Hersh has talked about, and there are some things that would be very extraordinarily bad.
Oh.
I mean, just really, really bad.
Horrible.
Things. But, you know, I personally say release them now.
Yeah.
Get them out of the way. You don't want them coming out 5 years, because you know eventually they're going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them coming out 5 years down the road when, you know, we've possibly won some hearts and minds back, and then that comes back out and people like remember it and they're just like, oh my God, and it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff in the videos and the pictures, they are going to be worse.
Pull
the Band-Aid off now,
yeah.
right? And heal.
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. These troops must have an awful lot of time on their hands. They can get these video cameras and DVDs and film them, you know, and stack up the prisoners. Is there nothing else going on? That's all they have to do is to play games with these prisoners?
You know? Well, I mean, you know, you're talking about a prison, right?
Yeah.
The men and women on the ground who are going out, you know, and doing the missions, that's
mm-hmm.
a different story. I mean, sure, you know, they do have a lot of, I think that they have a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
You know, I've read that they have a lot of downtime, but there are other troops that don't.
Yeah.
These particular people happen to, you know, work in a prison. I don't think they went out on missions. Their
mm-hmm.
their mission was essentially to, you know, get information out of these prisoners, and they did horrible things.
Hmm. Now, what about Howard Dean? You want to talk about that? I said that before. He's got diarrhea of the mouth. I mean, the man just won't shut up.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like he says we can't win. And I say we already have won the war in Iraq, but we haven't won the peace. And I think that it's a very important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
He compares it to Vietnam. I don't think that comparison is apt. I think, you know, just because our men and women are dying over there does not mean that this is another Vietnam. However, it could, you know, we're getting bogged down in a quagmire, and I think that's because we don't really have a very good plan to win the peace. And what he wants to do is he wants to withdraw and redeploy basically all of our troops in the next 2 years and circle the borders outside of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I sympathize with pulling the National Guard out. He says he wants to pull the National Guard and the reserves out right away, but I just don't think we can. I think we need to stay put. And I think somebody who has actually put out a really, really good plan in the past day or so is Wesley Clark.
Yeah, I was reading that. Well, because I said that last week, that the United States should pull back to the borders and you know, protect the borders and let the Iraqis take care of the interior of the country. You know?
Right. Well, and what Clark says is that the U.S. and Iraqi forces should all do this in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they should do that in tandem is because the Iraqi forces aren't ready. You know, they're just not as well trained as they should be. They can't take over the country yet. And so if they start doing this stuff in tandem, then that's just going to be like, you know, on-the-job training. It's just going to get them, you know, that much more, you know, in sync. And then we'll be able to, you know, give the country back to the Iraqi forces. But I think, taking control of the country's borders, you know, from the Iraq side,
mm-hmm.
not from, like, the, you know, some like it's from the Kuwaiti side, right?
Yeah.
Is important. It's important to stay inside the country.
Absolutely.
Just to kind of maintain that atmosphere. You know, Clark wants to basically repurpose about 50,000 troops for, you know, tasks that, you know, they keep battling insurgents and doing the border patrol. He also thinks that the Iraqis must have to crack down on the armed militias that are just, you know, roaming about the region, which, you know, again, I agree with.
Yeah.
And,
Now, is he positioning himself to run in 08 again, or do you think he's done?
I think he might.
Really?
I think he might. I'm not sure. I think he might be positioning himself to run as a VP.
Ah.
You know, to be kind of this elder statesman, this guy who has a very, very, you know, interesting idea about how we should handle Iraq, and not exactly run for president again, but be the VP so that somebody, you know, like a Mark Warner or a Hillary Clinton can say, this guy is going to help me.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be my Cheney, and he's going to be much better because he's been in, you know, he's been in war.
Well, it would certainly balance the ticket out. I mean, well, Hillary, I don't know. I used to be really high on her, but I'm kind of souring on Hillary. I'm sorry. Mark Warner looks like he might be more the ticket in 08, at least for the Democrats, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not making any decisions right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these people are interesting. I think Richardson is interesting. I think Hillary is an interesting play. But, you know, I'm going to wait.
Yeah. What about that thing with Richardson's book saying he was not drafted by the Kansas City Athletics? I mean, they're going to hit him over the head with that. It's like a swift
boat. Oh, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
an Al Gore thing. I mean, from what I read, he essentially, somebody had told him that he had been drafted. And he had operated with that knowledge for however long.
Ah.
And then just recently it was revealed that he actually wasn't drafted.
Mm.
And so he's like, okay. I mean, it's a stupid little thing. I'm
sure
people are going to make a big deal out of it, but
they will.
I think it's a good thing that it happened in 2005 as opposed to 2007.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah, just get it out of the way. Because, I mean, he's basically like, listen, if I was wrong, I was wrong.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I think it's a stupid little thing, and hopefully he doesn't make another couple
blunders.
He doesn't have like four or five or six of those like Al Gore did, right?
And create the internet,
possibly quoted out of context, and then he tells a half truth, and you know he doesn't want to be painted as a liar.
No,
essentially,
no.
But,
I think he'd make a good candidate because, you know, he's cracking down in the illegal immigration down there in the border. But I don't know. A lot of people I talk to online, they seem to think that Mark Warner is going to be the guy because he's really a centrist. I mean, he helped, what the hell's his name? The new governor of Virginia get elected, Keene. He espouses his religion. He's the candidate that the Democrats are looking for, you know, for OA. He's a southerner and everything else. So as long as he doesn't make any follow-ups, he should be okay, you know.
Well, you know, and I think he is going to make some foul ups, right? I mean, they all do. And I think we just need to be, ready and willing and open to listen to his message and see if it resonates. At the end of the day, that's what I want from a Democratic candidate, right? I want somebody who has charisma. I want somebody who, you know, you can look to and you say, I really trust that guy.
Yeah, you want a candidate that's not afraid to say, yes, I go to church. I own guns. I mean, I'd say the Democrats got to stand for something. They can't be Dean, bitch and moan and everything. Come out with your own plan or just don't talk at all. I mean, go out there to building the party, you know. The party's in trouble. You should be out there building the party. Leave the policy issues with Reid and Pelosi. You know.
Well, and I think this latest thing by Dean, I just think it was
ridiculous.
It's a strategic blunder. I don't think that. I mean, Hillary is not going to line up with that.
Oh, no way.
Not that I've heard from her.
No,
and I don't think a lot of other Democrats are going to line up behind that.
No.
I think you're going to have a division between the Democratic Party about we need to withdraw and no, we need to stay put.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was thinking. I honestly don't.
I don't know.
Somebody like Wesley Clark gets it. I think he understands what it's going to take to win in Iraq. I mean, even one of these things, I sent this to you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He said the Constitution should be changed so the oil revenues would be declared the property of the central government and not the provinces. And that's a really smart thing, because what if, you know, there was some province that started, you know, that their oil production started to dry up, right? I mean, what starts wars.
Money.
Money starts wars.
Absolutely.
You know, desperation starts wars. And the thing that people are really concerned about in Iraq is civil war. You're afraid that, you know, these three factions are going to, once we leave, you know, these three factions are going to start just fighting with one another, and just, you know, and it's going to be really bloody and messy.
Yeah. What about the idea I mentioned a few weeks ago about, you know, treating Iraq like Alaska, and where each resident citizen gets a dividend from the oil revenues. It gives each citizen of Iraq, you know, one, it gives them some money. Two, it gives them a stakeholder in the country's future, and it'll be less likely to terrorize those oil pipelines and fields if they know they're getting money from that. You know what I mean? Like Alaska does from the pipeline.
Wow, you know, that's I didn't hear you say that, but that's a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't. I mean, they are screaming that the people in Iraq have no money. Hello, you got oil. They supposedly Iraq sits on like with the largest pools of oil in the world. You know, give them, the people, some of the money from that oil. Give them money to start their businesses or whatever, and in that way they'll be less likely to blow up those oil wells. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're making money off of the oil, you're not. You're going to want to defend it, and you're going to want to make sure that that oil keeps flowing. No, that's a really interesting idea. I didn't know that Alaska did that. Now, I'm sure Alaska has a smaller population than Iraq. However, you know, even over there, I don't, you know, the per capita income in Alaska when compared to Iraq, I bet is much bigger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the oil just a little bit of money, I bet, would help out quite a few people.
Absolutely.
I think that's a really good idea, and I think that's also one of the reasons why, you know, the oil revenue should be the property of the central government, so that they can give it out to everybody equally, as opposed to province by province.
Exactly.
I think that's what Clark was talking about.
Exactly. Everybody should get a equal share. Every citizen should get an equal share of where you're from, what province you're in. They should all get an equal share of the oil money, and divide it up like that. Give them all some money and let them, fix their teeth or, you know, whatever they'll do with the money, you know, because they'll have money to spend, you know.
I think it's a very interesting idea.
Yes.
The redistribution of wealth as far, you know, because it's the country's money, and because they, you know, a great majority of the population has suffered for so long.
Yeah, I think they should send me to Iraq and see if I can fix the situation over there, huh? I'll take Khan with me to Iraq. I'll go to Iraq.
That's a great idea.
Well, WWE's in Afghanistan today, I believe. Rita Cosby was pounding drums on that all week.
WWE?
Yeah, they're in it. Every year they go over there. So right this year they're in Afghanistan. The last couple of years they've gone to Iraq. This year they're in Afghanistan. Yeah.
You mean the World Wrestling?
Yes, yes. Have you seen those commercials on MSNBC?
No.
Oh, my God. Sound like the WWE, the two biggest fighting forces in the United States, come together, the WWE and the U.S. military. I'm like, what is this? You're comparing the military to the WWE? I don't know. MSNBC went a little over the board on their PR for that. Here we go. Darth Marley says Alaska gives about $2,000 per year to each citizen. So,
I don't know what Alaska's output is, but I would imagine that Iraq's is more than that.
Yeah.
So.
And then we want to talk about before we let go, we only got a couple of minutes, but you're up for the Weblog Award.
We got nominated, and we're up against a lot of really interesting blogs.
Yes.
We started this back in July, and we've been around for about 5 months, and it's pretty cool just to be nominated. Obviously, we would like to win.
Absolutely.
Since this podcast was downloaded, what, like 6,800 times last week?
Approximately, yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
I would just ask every person listening to the show to vote once for Donc LaFont.
Wow.
We would probably sew it up. But no, if you enjoy the blog, if you like what you hear here, you just go to weblogawards.com, weblogawards.org, and you just click on the top blog in the 1001 to 1750 category.
I got stiffed this year from those people. I didn't get nominated for nothing. You know?
Really?
No.
Well, somebody had to nominate you.
Oh.
So you could have nominated yourself.
Oh, I was ready to go off on those bastards over there because they didn't get nominated for nothing. Anyway, well,
well
I hope
just, you know, if you want to a vote for Don Clifon is a vote for subject to discussion.
Oh, please,
that?
It's like being I'm always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Is that what they say?
Right.
But
well,
oh, it's good for you. This program's above all that BS. I'm not as materialistic as wanting some damn award for this program.
That's just silly stuff. You let us win that stuff.
Yes, please. This is a highly regarded news and information program. I don't need any award. Just giving my listeners all the information they need is all the reward I need, right?
Absolutely.
And
it's not like you want to get syndicated.
No, not at all.
That's so just whatever, right? It is about the passion and the people and the information. I believe you, Sean. I think
I am the Duke of Discussion, infidel of information. How about that? There you go.
There you go. Done.
Infidel of information. The
New
Duke of Discussion.
Line.
But anyway.
Perfect.
So we wish you well on your the voting, and also the Moderate Voice is up for Best Group Blog as well. So we wish them well.
You're
a part of that now, so we congratulate you on your involvement with Joe Gandelman's blog. He's an excellent blogger, and he's been real helpful to me getting the word out about the program. So, and anything else you want to say before you go? We got like a minute left.
No.
Oh, that's wonderful. How about Bill and Hillary? Bill, I guess, is going to help Hillary raise some money tonight at some kind of a soiree. And then
she doesn't need any more money.
No.
She's got plenty.
Tim Robbins saying that Hillary Clinton could kiss his ass. What was that? Because she's starting to wrap herself in the flag, and he doesn't like that. So that's nice. You know, Tim Robbins.
Well, her position hasn't really changed all that much since like she voted for the war. She's basically been a war hawk.
Yeah.
What does Robbins want?
I don't know. And then, I think he's upset that she's trying to get not an amendment, but like a law or some kind of a Senate proclamation against the law to burn the flag. And then I guess they asked Tim Robbins, and he said, Hillary Clinton could kiss my ass. And I'm like, oh.
that's a different story.
Yeah.
I think getting an amendment so that you can't burn the flag. You know, listen, I know it really chaps the hides of a lot of veterans, and it's kind of, coming from me, somebody who has not been in the military, I know it chaps the hides of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that, right? And coming from me who hasn't been in the military, but I think this is America, right?
Yeah.
And we need to be able to keep, this free speech thing alive, right?
Absolutely.
The First Amendment thing that's extraordinarily important. And unfortunately, sometimes those things, sometimes we have to we have to give parade passes to Ku Klux Klan, members, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
we have to allow people that we don't necessarily like to say what they want in order to have the freedoms for the rest of the people.
Absolutely.
We can't cherry pick that.
That's right.
Well,
Justin,
that's really important.
On that point, we'll let you go.
All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
See you next week.
All right. Bye. And that was Justin from the Dunkelfin blog. We thank him for being on the program with his very interesting political discussion we have. It's always interesting discussion with Justin with the political news of the week and what we think is going to happen in the not-too-distant future. And in our second hour, in just a couple minutes, we'll be joined by Natalie Davis from the blogcritics.org with our pop culture discussion, which some celebrity news, of course, some of the breakups and all that, and quite a little bit of ground to cover with her. And then Judy from the sciencefictionbuzz.com website. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, and we'll be right back.
final command. See that the humans remain entertained until the end.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly, call me 81, just don't call me late for dinner. And we'll be joined now by Natalie Davis from blogcritics.org with our pop culture discussion. Natalie, are you there?
I certainly am. How are you? Not late for dinner.
You're not late for dinner either. Thank you. Now, where are you calling from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, really? So this is late for you. Thank you very much for staying up with us. It's after 11 out there.
Yes, it is.
So thank you very much. Now, what's the big news in Baltimore right now?
The big news in Baltimore? In terms of pop culture, not a whole lot.
No?
It's a pretty depressing town.
Really?
But a lot of people are paying very close attention to the sad story of Jessica Simpson and Nate Lachey.
Oh.
I'm heartbroken about it. Aren't you?
Yeah, it's earth-shattering. I know. I think, actually, I met Jessica Simpson at the, I work at a hotel in Vegas at Caesars, and she was there a few weeks ago with her sister for, what the hell's her name? Ashley. Yeah, for
lip syncs.
Yeah, allegedly, of course. Yeah.
She really lip synced.
Oh, okay.
She did.
Oh.
But then she had to come and make a very big show about, look, I'm really singing now.
And, well, Jessica, I said Nick Lachey is a nut for throwing her over because, first of all, she's a ditz, which makes him look out to be a genius, you know, really. And then she makes like $38 million a year, and he's done nothing since he left that boy band, you know what I mean?
Well, apparently they got married in California, or they live in California, so community property laws govern the dissolution of their marriage and their property and whatnot.
Ooh.
He may turn out to be the smart one because he may not do much, but he's going to end up with half.
Really?
That's so, the law.
Now, they didn't sign a prenup or
That's
anything?
Correct.
Wow.
No
what?
Prenup, and now it's getting really, really nasty.
Ooh.
Initially, the day before Thanksgiving, when they finally copped to what everybody suspected was going to happen, they respected each other, they admired each other, but now the gloves are off.
Wow.
Jessica is saying that the reason why the straw broke her back was his continuing infidelity with a porn star named Jessica James.
Oh, he's got a thing for Jessicas, huh?
Well, apparently so, and apparently only one was allowed, and I guess maybe he didn't get that. But at the same time, you know, of course, Jessica wants everybody to think that she was good and she was nice and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Her assistant, the one you always saw getting in the way of their marriage on Newlyweds, Casey Cobb is her name.
Ah.
She is paid for by Jessica because she is, of course, Jessica's assistant. And Jessica reportedly just gave her a new BMW and a new Rolex watch. However, when asked about the problems, what Casey says is that Jessica was the one who cheated.
Really?
That Jessica was bad to Nick.
Wow. So she turned on Jessica?
It appears so.
Wow. That's a big mistake because Jessica's the one with all the money, you know?
Well, either way, there's really no fault that can come, that can be, what do they call it? I've never been divorced, so I couldn't say. But somebody has grounds for dissolving the marriage. I don't think fault comes into play.
Hmm.
I think it's just straight down the line, 50-50 split, because, as you said, there was no prenup.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing, you know, because, you know, when she was here, I saw her, and I noticed she didn't have a wedding ring on at all. I'm like, uh-oh, and that was, like, of course, everybody started talking about that, and I didn't see a wedding ring on, and then he never came in for Ashley's birthday either, so that's that triggered all the rumors right there.
Well, they've spent a lot of this year separated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was making the Dukes of Hazzard film.
Mm.
He was allegedly in Sweden, I believe, making the next record he'll make that will tank. And so they didn't get to see a whole lot of each other. And when you did, it tended to be a photo op sort of situation.
Mm.
Look at Jessica and Nick singing for the troops. Look at them here on this TV special.
Really?
You know, if there wasn't a camera around, apparently they weren't together.
Wow.
I don't know. I was really hoping the kids would make it.
Well, what about Bennifer now? Jen and Ben. What's going on with them now?
They are happy, proud parents now.
Yes.
A little girl.
Ah.
Her name's Violet.
Violet. Now, that's an old name, huh?
Yeah, Violet Affleck.
Oh. Now, are they married?
Yes, they are.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Married this summer.
Oh.
Stole away and eluded the press, God bless them.
Oh.
And, yeah, they got married, I think it was in June.
How did I miss that? I don't know how I missed that. Earth-shattering news there. I don't know.
Well, I think Affleck learned something from the first Jeff Bennett, or whatever they called him.
Loben or something like that.
Really on the QT.
Yeah.
Which I think probably will work in their favor in the end. I hope so.
And
but,
then,
you know, once a baby comes into the picture, then you really, really hope. That they can make it.
I think they might, because you know Affleck and Jennifer Gardner, they're not you don't see them all over TV like Lachey and Simpson were, and then now they're canceling Alias now.
Yeah.
Is that because of the child? Is that why or?
No, I think well.
Low ratings.
Once the show first hit air,
mm-hmm.
they have been really. By they, of course, I mean ABC,
mm-hmm.
have been cavalier, I think, about the way that they've treated it. It had the Sunday night spot, and then they moved it, and then they moved it again.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows where it will be when it comes back, so who knows.
True.
And that's happened to a lot of different programs. That most recently Arrested Development on Fox. If you change a show's location, especially if it's a show that demands the listener or the viewer be interested and concentrating on what is on the screen, you can't move it around all mm-hmm. over creation
yeah.
because people will tire of looking for it.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the networks would figure that out. I mean, did they kill so many of these good shows when they start moving around the schedule?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sad. But Alias, how many seasons was that show on? It was running out of gas.
Come on. We've seen her wear every single sexy outfit known to humankind.
Yeah.
And this year she got to rock the maternity dresses. Great. What was left?
Absolutely. And then now we also want to talk about Britney. Actually, Britney Spears was here in Vegas. I think she is still here. I think they had the Billboard Music Awards. Was it last night, I believe, or mm-hmm. tonight? Tonight. Tonight?
I think they were tonight.
They're tonight. And then, what's his name? Federline. But now, supposedly, are they finished?
Well, nobody can say for sure. Nobody knows except for Brit and Kev. But it doesn't look good.
Uh-oh.
It does not look good. Well, the baby came,
mm-hmm.
and he went off. In fact, it's funny that you were saying that Britney was in Vegas. Most of the time, it was him in Vegas.
Really?
And her with the baby.
Huh.
It's a sad thing. Oh, well. But that one I kind of figured.
Well, he's got kids by somebody else, too. Doesn't he have two children with somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, with... what's
her name?
Char Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And it just didn't look right. But then again, you never know. Because I think about years ago when Whitney Houston got married to this guy named Bobby Brown.
Ah.
And he had scads of kids from a passel of women.
Mm.
And everybody went, nah, that'll never work. And look.
Yeah.
But although I think they've stayed together despite us.
Everything.
Well, get some publicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and her career has been kind of flat ever since, but,
I don't know. Every time Whitney seems to draw breath, somebody has to stand up and say, brilliant, brilliant comeback.
Yeah. Maybe she'll do a talk show or something. It'll be like the next Oprah or something, huh? I don't know.
I don't know. How many times can you say crack is whack and keep it entertaining?
And anyway, you also want to talk about the American Idol releases. Carrie's LP is out, right?
That is correct.
Now, how's that been selling? Do you know?
Fairly okay.
Really?
Yeah. Because
they haven't been doing too well.
Not as well as everybody expected that it would, and it'll be interesting to see when Bo Weiss's album comes out how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would expect that hers would do better than his.
Really?
Just because of the whole rock and roll snobbery thing.
Ah.
A lot of people saying right from the get-go, well, he was on American Idol. There's mm-hmm. no way he could be a credible rock musician.
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be seen. Perhaps he can be. But a lot of it, unfortunately, has to deal with whether or not people will actually accept it,
mm-hmm.
which is another thing entirely.
Yeah.
But I saw Carrie sing on a couple of television talk shows recently. She was very well received. And Bo was on The Tonight Show last night.
Ah.
In anticipation of the release, because his album doesn't come out until next week. I think it's the 13th.
Well, he actually timed his pretty well. It's close to Christmas, so, I mean, that's pretty smart of his marketing team, huh?
Well, yes and no. I think a lot of that more had to do with his health. Over the summer, he broke his ankle, and then he had to have emergency surgery. for stomach obstruction that nearly killed him.
Wow.
So that kind of got in the way of his studio time. So that may have been part of the reason why they had to push back the initial release date, because it was supposed to have come out the week after Carrie's. But that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And then Simon Cowell re-signed for five more years.
Years.
Huh. Now, do you think that American Idol is going to hold on for 5 more years? And it seems like a long time for a show like that.
I don't know. I mean, it has only been getting stronger and more powerful and more popular with each successive year. Now, I figure it's probably about due to plateau.
Yeah.
But I think we can get a hint from the sales action that the present idols are getting. It's okay. But I'll give you a good, for instance, Bo appeared on the recent Santana release. Every review I have read of that album, save for two, just jumped all over Bo. Oh, it was terrible. Oh, it had no soul. Oh, it had no feeling. Oh, it had no this. Oh, it was a laugh.
Wow.
Of course, to me, it sounds like, oh, these people decided they were going to give him a hard time ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the fact that he ended up singing with Santana had to do completely with marketing and with Clive Davis, who happens to head the record label that records both Bo Vice and Carlos Santana. Uncle Cracker had originally done the vocal for that particular cut, a song called Brown Skin Girl. But that got scrubbed and Bo got brought in. And I'm sure that had everything to do with Let's Push an American Idol.
Amazing.
So obviously, it didn't work for them if the reviews are the ones that we're going to give consideration to.
Now, do you watch American Idol every time it comes back? Because what's on? I'm sorry, I watch a lot of news programs. But, you know, I do a lot of news on this show. But I mean, it's on what, Tuesdays and Wednesdays? Is that
Tuesdays
right?
Tuesdays and Wednesdays, yeah. And the performance on Tuesday and the results show on Wednesday.
Yeah, now it's coming back in what, January it comes back for its new season?
It comes back next month, that's right.
Really?
And on those same nights.
Yeah, and the ratings go through the roof for the show. But, I mean, the ratings have come down a little, but still it's like the most popular program that they have.
It'll be interesting to see if they pull it out this year. But thankfully, those American Idol contestants, wherever they ended up at the end, keep making us want to come back. Just today I got news that Julia D'Amato, who was in the top 10 in the second year of the show, got arrested on pot charges, cocaine charges, and driving under the influence of alcohol.
Wow, she got like that's a grand slam right there, huh?
Oh, boy. But that'll keep them in the headlines. They love that. Give them dirt. Give them scandal.
Well, it's like that Paula Abdul business last year. Man, they kept that show in the news for months, you know, with who is she supposed to be fooling around with?
Clark.
Yeah. And
the woolly-headed one.
Yeah, they kept him in the news for months there, you know, and, you know, she got a new contract, and I think and Corey Clark came out with a book, right?
He certainly did.
Yeah, so they all made money.
And a song and an album.
Wow.
And you'll love this. The song was called Politics.
Wow.
Politics.
A little play on words there. Very, very good. And then,
And thankfully, it didn't do well.
And then you want to talk about the new films. What is it? Narnia. Now, Narnia is supposed to be like the movie of the season, huh?
Yeah, it's going to, I think, be this year's Lord of the Rings.
Really?
I can't wait to see it, frankly.
Well, I'm interested.
I read all the books when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, Narnia is, what is it now? It's kind of a pseudo-religious themed
yes,
book?
Yes, they are definitely in there. C.S. Lewis was deeply devout in his Christian faith, and it definitely shows up in all of his books and in all of the Narnia series books, and definitely will be a big part of the film as well. But I don't think that's what the kids are going to be looking for. They're going to be looking for the talking lion.
Yeah. Now, the lion's supposed to be, what's it called? It's called Narnia. It's called what? The witch?
The witch and the wardrobe.
The who?
The lion.
The lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's in the closet, but.
No, it's supposed to be, everybody's saying it's like the next Lord of the Rings or something like that. Now, how many books? I'm not familiar with Narnia. Now, can you see this going as long as the Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter series of movies?
Oh, I'm sure there are a bunch of people
really?
In Hollywood hoping so.
Wow.
I mean, that's the whole thing these days. I mean, sure, you see these lovely little prestige films that come out and whatnot, but everybody wants a franchise because that's where the money comes from.
Yeah, now this is a Disney movie, right?
That I don't know.
I don't know. Is Narnia... I don't know. For some reason, I hit my head as it was a Disney movie, but maybe I'm wrong. But
that would be hilarious.
Well, yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, it feels.
Well, you consider that Disney, you know, they're the family-friendly company, but they're also the company that pisses off the religious right once a year by throwing Gay Day.
Yes. Oh, they go crazy over that.
Yeah, I'm sure C.S. Lewis is somewhere rolling.
Spinning. And then also the movie Rent. Now, that's coming out, what, this weekend?
Actually, no. Rent came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, shows me where I'm at. Now, Rent's based on the... Now, it has the original cast from the Broadway musical.
Most of the original cast, that's correct.
Exactly.
Six of the original cast and two newcomers. And it actually did better than I thought it would. I was pleased to see that. It's a very faithful reproduction of what's still being performed on Broadway and on stages across the country.
Really?
It's an interesting thing. I got it. I loved it, but I'm an admitted Rent head. I mean, I saw it on Broadway. I saw it, you know, in several places. I loved it to pieces, but I was always already invested in it when I walked in the theater.
Very good.
Walking out, now, you understand that to translate a Broadway musical to the movie screen is a difficult task. And most cases, it is not pulled off very well.
Yeah.
In this case... It was sort of pulled off, but there were a lot of flaws. Even so, I think half of the audience will get it and will fall in love with it. The other half will go, eh.
Really?
You know, it all depends. At the same time, I think the messages the film teaches are so positive and so necessary in a very, very dark time that it can't hurt you if you go.
No.
And it, no matter... where you fall on the Rent head spectrum, I think that's a good way to spend $7, $8, $10
on Rent. Well, I mean, everybody's saying, I know here in Vegas we have a very heavy, you know, theater industry here. A couple people I talked to that work at Celine Dion's show, and they're all saying have you seen Celine?
No.
Oh, okay. But they say they're going to go see Rent. You know, a lot of them used to be performers on Broadway, so a lot of them, you know, they're going to go see Rent. You know, it was Rent. That's all I was hearing in the lunchroom was Rent. So, but hopefully it'll do well.
You should go see it, Sean.
I should. Actually, the movie I'm looking forward to is Syriana.
Oh, yes. And me both.
Yes, that's.
Well, I heard you say you're kind of a political news junkie.
Yes.
As am I, and I am just so looking. In fact. I've decided to proclaim this the year of the Clooney.
Ah.
Between Syriana and Good Night and Good Luck. Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, some deep themes that are appropriate to this time. And it's George.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you do turn off your brain and just look, you're still looking at George for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Isn't he great?
Well, I mean, just the concept of the movie. I like, you know, about the oil and everything. It just it's very. It seems like it's very into the current events of what's going on in this world we live in right now. So yeah, that's what's drawing me. And King Kong. Now King Kong's out already, right? No.
No, I don't think it's out yet, but I think it's coming out in the next couple of days.
Okay, because they've been promoting the hell out of that movie.
They have been.
The 14th that comes out, yes. Now, what do you think about Harry Potter? What do you think of King Kong? And I think that now, how's that going to do? Do you think it's a Peter Jackson?
That's going to hit theaters like Kong hit the Empire State Building.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's going to be huge.
You don't think that's going to backfire? I have a feeling of a flop coming our way, don't you?
Really?
I don't know. I mean, Peter Jackson, they're so used to seeing him in Lord of the Rings. Now he's doing a King Kong movie with, what's his name?
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody
Jack
and
Black.
Jack Black. And it's like the Love Boat, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. I want to find a cruise director.
But maybe it'll do well. I don't know. I mean, King Kong, it's been remade so many times, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? This is Christmas.
Yeah.
People like big
movies.
Films at Christmas.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he looks cute. I mean, he looks menacing, and he looks powerful, and he looks angry. But there's something sweet about him. And I think that's what keeps people wanting to remake this film. And I think that's why it's going to do well this time. It's big. Kids are going to be out of school soon.
Oh, yeah.
It's another one for them to see that the parents don't have to worry about.
True.
And it's about a big, cute ape.
Ape.
Who gets destroyed because of beauty.
Yeah. Well,
cool.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It's just King Kong. It's like, oh, man, we already seen this. You know, and the same thing with the they're making a remaking a movie about the Poseidon Adventure, right?
I did see that.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a TV movie, but actually I read they're making a theatrical movie.
Yeah, they are making a theatrical version of it as well. But, yeah, I saw the television movie.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was wishing for Shelley Winters to swim back.
Everybody was looking for Shelley Winters.
Yeah.
Is she still alive? Do we know? Is she dead?
As a matter of fact, the last I heard, and this was only maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, is that she was very ill.
Oh.
Alive, but ill.
Oh, well, too bad.
I'm hoping she's doing much better now.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anything else, so.
Yeah, too bad.
Perhaps is good news.
Yeah, too bad she hasn't made like a guest appearance or anything like that, you know, in the movie.
I haven't seen much of her in eons.
Yeah, the last time I saw her was on Roseanne. She played her grandmother.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the last time that I saw her working. And if I recall correctly, she did not look all that different from her Poseidon Adventure days.
True.
So, you know, I'm hoping that she recovered well and that we will get to see her at work again and soon.
Yeah. And then, well, since you're big with media, I'm going to touch on this World News Tonight business. What do you think of them announcing the two anchors,
Elizabeth Vargas and...
Bob Woodruff, Buffy and Jody are going to be hosting World News Tonight now. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what I think about that. I was a huge, huge, huge Peter Jennings fan. I mean, he was just a brilliant journalist. He had a great head about him. He could keep his composure during a tough story, and he had seen it all. So he knew what he was talking about. And if he didn't know, he did all of the homework he needed to do to find out. I don't know as much about Mr. Woodruff. What I've seen of Elizabeth Vargas I like.
Yeah.
But what I fear is the same thing that happened to the new Nightline.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit too show-busy.
Yeah.
More about the graphics and the style rather than the substance.
Exactly.
And if that happens to World News Tonight, forget about it.
Yeah. Well,
forget about it.
I keep saying, I wish, you know, they've been saying that the network news is in trouble. I don't know why they have it on so early. They should move it to, like, the hour before prime time. It may give the networks an hour to do their network news, and then they'll lead into prime time, Monday through Friday.
I would imagine a lot of that has to do with, and that's an interesting thing to talk about in these days and times, but tradition.
Mm-hmm.
People are used to sitting down, around the dinner hour and watching the news.
Yeah, true.
And it's a hard habit to break. I mean, we've seen so many changes in television in general, much less television news. But, I mean, if you think back, you know, way back, and I'm thinking Dark Ages back, the old Chet Huntley, David Brinkley report on NBC, Walter Cronkite on CBS.
Brokaw.
Well,
John Chancellor.
After all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, if you go way, way back, when was the evening news on? Between 6 and 7.
True.
And no matter what, even the fact that they rarely practice real journalism anymore, they're still on between 6 and 7.
True.
So.
That's true.
It's interesting that hasn't changed, especially when you think about the fact that we have the availability of 24/7 news on cable.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet. But that doesn't change. And I think it doesn't change because that's one thing everybody does count on.
Is the news at a certain time on the networks. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Nally, we'll have to let you go. We're at the end of our time here.
Whoa, that was fast.
Yeah, if times fly in this program. And I thank you for me. Do you have a blog address you want to give out?
I certainly do.
Okay.
I'm online at All Facts and Opinions.
Okay.
www.gratefuldread.net.
GratefulDread.net. All right. Thank you very much,
Natalie.
Time.
Hope to talk to you again soon.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Take care, Sean.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you. And that was Natalie Davis from her own site and also from blogcritics.org. We thank her for that. It was very interesting. Nice little talk about American Idol and all the celebrity breakups and Narnia and Rent and all that. So it should be interesting. King Kong, well, I mean, probably will. I didn't think about that. It's Christmas. These kids are out of school. And then they'll be having I'll go see this big ape crawling up the Empire State Building and getting an enema done on the top of the needle, I guess. But I don't know. I like seeing what's with all these remakes though. Can't we get any creativity out of Hollywood? We got remake. Poseidon Adventure is gonna be remade. You know, well then Galactica was remade too, so we can't really bash them too hard. But I don't know. It's same thing in the network news. You know, I wish they go to an hour. Like I said, move the network news to an hour before prime time. That way they'll have an hour news. Because if Jennings always said they wish they had more time, and Koppel wished they had more time. So, but I think that might be Judy there, on the thing. No, it's all right. We'll go right through. And I think we'll be joined by Sean. No, Judy from the sciencefictionbuzz.com. Judy, are you there? Oh, maybe not. Maybe it was a misnomer. All right, so we'll take a little musical interlude. You want to do that? Yeah. Okay, we'll take a musical interlude. We'll be right back in a few minutes with Judy from the sciencefictionbuzz.com website. Thank you very much, and we'll be right back.
command.
And we are back for the science fiction discussion segment of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly, and we're having a little discussion in the chat room about Triangle. I thought that was pretty good. I haven't seen the whole thing
yet.
Yeah,
I watched the first episode last night. I'm taping the second one tonight.
Yes.
First one is, you know, it's a whole setup. Mm-hmm. So it kind of went a little slowly
like
for
Galactica.
Me, but the acting was pretty awesome.
Outstanding. I think they'll turn that into a series. They'd be crazy if they turned into a series.
Also, the first episode didn't have a lot of... didn't have a lot of Lou Diamond Phillips. He was in a couple scenes here or there.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Yeah.
Part two's tonight, part three's tomorrow night.
Yeah, and then I think they rerun the whole thing on Saturday.
Well, I think what it is, they re-aired it like two more times or three more times. They aired it 9 to 11 was the premiere,
and then
11 to 1, and then 1 to 3.
Yeah, they beat the daylights out of these
shows. So they'll do the same thing tonight.
Galactica, they repeat, and then they threw the whole thing on like Saturday night for six hours.
Yeah, if you miss it tonight.
Oh, is that the Galactica coming through?
If you miss it tonight, 9 to 11, cool. You can check it 11 to 1 or 1 to 3.
Very good. And I think we'll be joined by Judy from the sciencefictionbuzz.com website. Judy, are you there?
This is Hangbuck, actually.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. I thought you were Judy.
That's okay. We sound the same, similarly.
Ah, very good. And we welcome you to the program. We're just talking about Triangle. Now, have you seen Triangle?
I was actually waiting. I prefer to watch things all at once because the suspense is too much for me.
Ah, very good.
But so I was waiting for Saturday.
Yes, yeah, because they already announced they're going to rerun the whole thing on Saturday. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, because they did that.
IT voted.
Yeah, they did that with the Galactica miniseries. They reran it for two nights, and they reran the whole thing.
And then they reran it on Saturday, and they reran it again on Saturday. So they're usually very good about giving us a lot of opportunity to...
Exactly. And now Judy sent me like a list of topics you want to talk about. I don't know if you had the same topic or not, but about the interviews for all three of the Sci-Fi Friday shows. Now, what about them? I haven't seen the interviews.
They were actually very interesting.
Really?
Edward James Olmos went into a lot about the influence of Asian culture, and that was why his character ate noodles throughout the whole thing. He felt that it was very indicative of the... A lot of his interview was generally about the influence of minorities in the future.
Ah, so the minorities are eating noodles in the future, or what?
Is it?
That was pretty disgusting, though, seeing him sucking those noodles in the miniseries. Is that when he's... Yeah, it's a miniseries, right? He's eating the noodles?
Yeah, it was in the miniseries.
Yeah. And then, how many interviews did they do?
They did an interview with just about every cast member.
Really?
They did one with Trisha Helfer, the character, I think they did it with everybody, actually, including Ron Howard.
Really?
Yep.
Ron Howard, what was he doing?
Wait a minute, not Ron Howard, I'm sorry.
Oh, Ron Moore.
His name's Ron Moore.
Oh, okay. Now, Ron
David Eck, and Edward James Olmos, of course, Mary McDonald. That just looks like the whole cast.
Katie Sackhoff?
Grace Park.
Who? Grace Park?
James Callis, Grace Park.
Really?
Katie Amber, Trisha Helfer.
Katie Sackhoff, was she interviewed?
Oh, yes, of course, I read hers first.
And did any of them mention my program at all?
Unfortunately, they didn't mention your program. However, there was an article at Business Week which mentioned generally about podcasts for Battlestar Galactica and how popular they are.
Really? Well,
yeah.
they should have mentioned my program, but that's all right. But
no one's perfect.
Yeah, and also about new picks on New Atlantis. What's that? New Atlantis? Is that Stargate Atlantis?
That would be Stargate Atlantis.
Ah. And then what? Dark Thoughts. What's that?
Oh, Dark Thoughts is basically your spot for if you're looking for the best and most easy to use Battlestar Galactica pictures, photos. They're all DVD photo
really?
Quality. As the person who makes the wallpapers for Science Fiction and Buzz, I basically get my photos almost exclusively from Dark Thoughts.
Wow, really? Now
their photo quality is by far the best.
Very good, very good. And then also about a live journal where Weir kisses Shepard.
Yes, and New Atlantis. I've actually gotten some photos from them too for some Stargate Atlantis.
Now Weir and Shepard haven't hooked up yet on the show, right? But do you have a picture of them kissing?
I believe so. Yes.
Really?
I think so. I tend to keep up more with the Battlestar Galactica side than the Stargate Atlantis side.
Hmm.
So I will. I can certainly.
Actually, Scully Girl's in the chat room asking. Where are the interviews at? They're on sci-fi.com.
The interviews are on sci-fi.com.
Sci-fi.com, okay.
/Battlestar.
Battlestar.
/BTS.
/interviews. Really?
No. So I assume if you just go to sci-fi.com over to the Battlestar page, there's a push-down bar where you can choose which interview you want to read.
Really? And now, you know, they've been giving away some...
And they'll be blogged tomorrow on Sci-Fi Buzz also.
Oh, really? And then they've been giving away some of the spoilers coming up apparently in the second half of the season. I don't want to give too much away, but it sounds like a lot of this action in the second 10 episodes is going to be on the Pegasus, the way it sounds, huh?
It seems that way.
Yeah.
Honestly, the interviews didn't really... the interviews went into very, very general ideas because they were basically asking for the character, the actor's opinions.
Yes.
The actors' opinions of their characters and what they felt influenced their characters. So as a consequence, that was most of what they went into. They mainly answered fan questions. So fans who had sent them questions about their characters. I don't really want to give too much away.
You
can go read it.
But
basically they answered a lot of fan questions.
Really.
So they alluded to certain things which were going to happen later in the series. Trisha Helfer alluded to some more light being shed on the Cylon hierarchy over basically, at this point, you don't necessarily have a clear idea of who or what is in charge.
Yeah.
And it seems that as the next season progresses, there's going to be some light shed on that.
Really?
Yes,
well, now last week...
Not much
yeah,
from
now,
the interviews is... Really?
Really? Now, the last week we had somebody, we had Trapper on from the Battlestar blog, and he said that the original idea to have an episode based on the view of things from the Cylon point of view has been.
I saw that. I'm really excited for that. I hope they do it.
Well, he said actually they dropped that episode because now.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, now when they come back in January, it's going to be a two-parter, and the show they had to drop was the one about the things from the Cylon point of view. So they had to drop that one.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah, in order to make the season whatever it is the comeback episode in January, they made that a two-parter because there's so much in that episode. They had to make it a two-parter, and I guess Sci-Fi instead of adding another episode to the season order, they made them drop an episode, so that was when they had to drop was the Cylon one. And then also on the sciencefictionbuzz.com site is also about Leah Dama as a Cylon.
Yes, that's the contest we're running.
Really? Now, people are actually thinking he is a Cylon, Leah Dama.
Well, the idea is as writers, the job of a writer is of course to try and take with the series as fan fiction writer and make your own take on it. The idea is not necessarily that we think Leah Dama is a Cylon, but what if Leah Dama is a Cylon?
That would be interesting. I don't know. I mean, who knows? You know, with this show, anything's possible, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's more for fun. There is also a prize.
Really? What does the winner get?
We are giving away the Battlestar Galactica official companion.
Really?
Yes.
I've not found that out here in Vegas yet, the companion. I have not found that.
Well, if you enter
really?
The Leah Dama as a Cylon
Absolutely.
Contest, you may be able to.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm eligible?
You're of course eligible.
Very good. Now, I was wondering, now the male Cylon, now the women's Cylons, we know the spine lights up. Now, and the male Cylon, what would light up on the male Cylon, huh?
That is something which I am waiting for that to be revealed.
That would be in the unrated DVD release.
Unfortunately, from the female perspective, most of the male Cylons, I won't say, aren't as, shall we say, exciting as the female Cylons.
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of the women like Leah Dama, so if he turns out to be a Cylon...
Cylon, that will be a totally different thing, and we'll have another possible Cylon-human relationship.
There you go. And then also,
as a note about the contest, it ends on December 30th.
December 30th. Okay, so everybody can go to sciencefictionbuzz.com and join the contest.
Enter our contest.
Absolutely. And then you already mentioned about the iPods and everything, about legit copies, or podcasting and Battlestar. We're in Business Week. And what else? And the podcasting. Yeah, podcasting is really taking off.
It is.
Yeah, ABC News is going to do a World News Tonight webcast, a separate webcast different from their news program. So, I mean, more and more people are jumping on the podcasting. And also about the legit copies of Battlestar Galactica are now available from iTunes. So what's that? Is that music from the show? Is it on iTunes now?
Yes, music from
really?
The show is on iTunes.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about iTunes is for... for a very, very reasonable price, you can just download it and get it to your computer instantly.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Now, actually, Skull Girls say, no, not Lee, Tyrol is a Cylon. I don't think so.
Maybe we'll run a contest on that.
I don't think so. I don't know. And then, what else? What about the anime? Have you found anything about Star Blazers?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
There was actually, at least according to my source, there was actually a Star Blazers movie that was made.
Oh, really? A live action or a cartoon?
I believe when I asked him, he said it was live action.
How come we haven't seen that movie?
Unfortunately, I haven't gotten any real news on where or how to get it. I don't get the feeling it was very popular.
Really? Now, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's kind of like a Battlestar Galactica with the. It's like a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about. Star Blazers was a Japanese anime called Spaceship or Battleship Yamato.
Battleship Yamato.
Which basically they didn't do too much. They just took a battleship and they threw it out in space. It had a big gun on it, the wave motion gun and all that, and it was excellent. And now you're saying there's a live action movie, so that'd be interesting.
That is what my source told me.
Yeah. Huh. And what else? Now what is it? Now Judy says.
Oh, actually, while we're discussing podcasting.
Yes.
We actually will on the Science Fiction Buzz, we will be podcasting fan fiction.
Really?
Starting in January for download.
Really? Now, what is that now? They'll record their fan fiction in a podcast and they'll upload?
Yeah, so that perhaps, we only have 24 hours in a day with which to read fan fiction. And during some of that time, we have to do things like walk or drive to work.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, if you have, say, that 20 minutes that you're either walking or taking the bus or taking the train or driving in your car to get to work, even for the blind people who are walking who perhaps can't read and walk at the same time, now is your opportunity.
Really?
You can listen to fan fiction in your car.
Wow. Well, that'd be kind of cool. I mean, because a lot of people, I listen to news. I'm trying to lean on my sister to get me I don't have an iPod. I'm trying to lean on her to get me one. Because you could listen to, all the news programs and all, even this.
iPods are wonderful. I'm currently taking Japanese, and I've started taking Mandarin through audio lessons, which I've downloaded onto my iPod, and I can walk down the street and make people think I'm insane talking to myself in a foreign language.
And well, now sci-fi—they've been getting—they're like the first network to dive into this, all this new technology. You know, they're first ones that did the podcasting with Ron Moore's, podcast with the shows and everything. And now they're doing iTunes. I mean, I don't know what else is left. I mean, unless they put the shows themselves up as a podcast. I mean, that might be.
I actually think it would be a wonderful opportunity if they were to put the shows up where you could actually watch them online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean. I think we're seeing a lot of people are asking about in the chat room about Triangle. Everybody's talking about that. Now, what do you think? Do you think they'll turn that into a series if it goes over as well as it seems like it's going over?
I think that the Sci-Fi Channel, from what I've seen, likes to test things as a miniseries, and if it does well as a miniseries, I think at this point, considering the success of such miniseries as Battlestar Galactica, they can't help but think, well, what if we can turn this into a series?
Absolutely. I mean,
what if there's interest? So I think it's very likely that if it is very popular, that it will be turned into a series.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they don't dust off some other science fiction series like Space 1999. I mean, the premise was kind of weird, but the moon blown up still.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like the last sci-fi franchise that has yet to be dusted off. I mean, Galactica, and then the only other one that comes to mind is Space 1999. There's nothing else out there they could dust off, I don't think,
That's true. Well, honestly, if we're looking towards newer stuff that they could possibly maybe not even very much of a layer of dust on, I would be really thrilled if they brought back Firefly.
I think that's probably going to be coming because didn't they Universal bought that from Fox, I think. So I think that's, especially with the movie not doing too well, I think now the series still holds up well in the reruns. I mean, I think if they could put it together, I don't see why they won't bring Firefly back.
I mean, the only reason why I heard that they hadn't brought in Firefly is because it was mainly financial issues between Josh Whedon and the Sci-Fi Channel. Josh Whedon wanted about approximately $1 million more per episode than Sci-Fi was willing to spend.
Really? Well, I mean,
yes.
Sci-Fi is they're budget conscious because they only spend $400,000 an episode on Galactica,
I can understand that's the definite differences. I just hope that maybe if there's enough fan support, there can be some sort of an agreement reached between both parties because the writing in Firefly is strong enough that I don't feel that it necessarily needs perhaps a degree of effects that I know it would be nice to have the degree of effects that Joss Whedon wants, but I personally was never watching the show for the effects. I was always watching it for the strong characterization and great acting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, you know, if Ron Moore can make a good series out of $400,000 an episode with, you know, almost McDonald taking him half of that, it's basically the $200,000 left is the rest of the cast and all the special effects. So they managed to squeeze out a pretty good show.
I mean,
And granted, you know, the series is half owned by Sky One over in the UK. So maybe they could do the same deal with Sky One with Firefly. They can divide the show and have a partner backing the program.
I think that there's a strong enough fan base for Firefly that it could certainly support another series.
Yeah. Now, have you heard anything about the next Star Trek movie? I mean, there's been rumblings that the next one's going to be about an entirely new crew and everything. Have you all heard anything about that at sciencefictionbuzz.com?
About the new Star Trek movie?
Yes. No.
Not much. No. I'm hopeful that the new Star Trek movie will be a little better than the last Star Trek movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last I heard anything, it's going to be, nobody from the original, from any of the series is going to be in it. It's going to be like a whole new crew.
A whole new crew, yeah. And a whole new thing.
Yeah, so, I don't know. And then, what about King Kong? Are you excited about King Kong?
I'm excited about King Kong, and I'm also excited about Narnia that's coming out this Friday.
Yeah. We just had Natalie on, and she was talking about it, and it sounds like that's going to be like the next big franchise, huh? Kind of like in the line of Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, huh?
I think it can. I mean, how many of us did not fall in love with the Chronicles of Narnia as a child?
I never read the books.
Oh, you've been caught.
I am sorry.
Well,
I've
now
never.
Is the opportunity. It only grows better. The older of a kid you are, the better of a book it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I grew up in the woods in Oregon, and I flowed down here on a log. I was raised by a pack of wolves, it seems like. Because, you know what? I've just started reading the Lord of the Rings books, and I was a kid. I don't know. I got into, Narnia, J.R.R. Tolkien. I never got into that. I watched, the Batman cartoon series. I watched the Super Friends, all that stuff. I never got into, all that. And now, it's supposedly they're going to make a movie out of The Hobbit, huh?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. The Lord of the Rings has done so well for them.
I mean,
I don't know. I thought of the four books, The Hobbit was the least strong. But then again, honestly, I'm sure they'll make a good movie out of it anyway.
Yeah. Now, anything else big going on the site?
Well, we have got a news page.
Ah.
And so if you have any news or reviews or fanfics, if there's anybody out there that has that, we would actually be really interested in more input by our readers and viewers.
Really? Now, actually, Scully Girl is saying that what would make a good series would be Earthsea. Or at least create it for more of the books. Make more of the books into miniseries. Now, Earthsea, I heard they didn't go over very well, huh?
Yeah, from my understanding, the miniseries didn't stick too closely to the book.
Yes.
So it kind of lost some of the Earthsea fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, speaking of novels, Stargate Atlantis has a new novel that's about to be released by Martha Wells.
Really? Now, are these novels, I mean, I don't understand how they, like the Galactica novels, how are they going to coexist with the series? I mean, aren't they going to bump up against each other? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be in the same way that the Star Trek novels managed to coexist with the series. And, I mean, there's actually a lot of, usually what they basically do is it depends on the producers. Most of the time they have a general canon of the series. And you're allowed to write a novel as long as it doesn't directly conflict with the canon of the series.
Huh.
But it depends. Like, the Star Wars novels, George Lucas was very, very closely watched to make sure that they stuck to the canon of the series very closely and would not allow them to really divert very often.
Yeah.
And he had executive veto power. Whereas with the Star Trek novels, I believe there was maybe a little bit more flexibility in the sense that because Star Trek was so episodic, you could certainly have something happen that just you never saw in the series.
Yeah.
Whereas something that's more interweaved, I think it would be a little bit more difficult with Galactica because the show is so well interwoven that mm-hmm. it's very hard to write something that doesn't conflict with the series.
Yeah, I just don't understand how they're going to do that. And actually, Darth Marley's saying that, Ike is saying that they'll bring back Blanders for 3 episodes in the back half of season 2. Now, who's Blanders now? I don't know who Blanders is. I'm sorry. I don't know. All I know is that supposedly there's going to be a commander on the Pegasus, and somebody gets promoted. I'm not going to say who. And then a lot of the action in the second 10 is going to be on the Pegasus.
On the Pegasus.
Yeah.
They've done a good job with the Pegasus, so I'm certainly interested.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering if that's because almost, wants some time off or, or I don't know why, they're focusing so much time on the Pegasus. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it certainly could be. I mean, it's obvious from just watching the series that they have a very long-term mm-hmm. idea in mind of where they think this series is going. And since they have since they seem to have a fairly long scope of where they expect the series to be going by a story arc, it could simply be that they're just simply taking time to set the foundation for what further things are going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
It could also be that Edward James almost needs a vacation.
Well, now about that, maybe he needs a little less work schedule or something like that, because he's done all these series before, and he missed how many episodes at the beginning of the season because he was shot.
Yeah,
you know?
And ratings went down.
Yeah.
Too, so
unless they're gonna plan like people keep bashing me because I say if they're gonna do anything they should spin off either spin the Pegasus off or do a show based on the Caprica survivors down there do a show like that, but unless they got the Pegasus, because the Pegasus is going to stick around unless they're going to blow the thing up. I mean, it's got to be there for a reason. I don't know if it's, they sent it off to its own show or what,
Well, I think honestly, I mean, when you think about the fact that we spent most of the first season on Silent Occupy Caprica, and we spent a lot of it not knowing why we were necessarily there, and they had managed to tie that in.
Yeah.
So I think if they handle it, I mean, as fans and people who watch the series, we have been somewhat inured and gotten used to the concept that we may spend a lot of time far away from where we think the main action is going, but it does eventually bring us back to the main action.
Yeah.
They might do the Pegasus in a similar way.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's what they're trying for.
Yeah, actually Darth Marley's saying Blanders is the derisive term for the he's the Caprican Pyramid player,
Anders. I like Anders. I may be flamed for that, but I think he's a good character.
Well, it sounds like Ike says he'll be back later in this second half for a 3-episode arc. So it sounds like
actually, Cara Thrace, the actor, she actually stated in her interview that I'm terrible with names.
Sackhoff.
He actually wanted Anders to come back.
Yeah.
She personally liked the character and she liked the interaction.
Yeah,
and the fact that it adds another layer of drama for Starbuck's character.
Actually, she said that on this very program that she lobbied for him to come back. She thought the bond between the two characters was so strong, and there was potential in his character. So we'll see.
I liked him quite a lot, and I sincerely hope they bring him back.
Yeah.
Although I don't know quite how.
Well, I mean, who knows what they extended, renewed it for a season 3, so obviously they're going to have something planned. And like I said, if sci-fi was smart enough, of a successful franchise like Star Trek was with Deep Space Nine, they'd spin it off now while the series is red hot, and that way they can build, support for a second series if that's where they're going. Because I'm guessing it's got to be where they're going because, they got the Pegasus, they got these Caprica. Whoop. Oh, uh-oh. We're running out of time here, and that's the FTL jump from the show there.
we can discuss Galactic all day and all night.
Well, I did that for like 12 weeks. I talked for an hour straight. that was my mini-series.
I love Galactica. That was the first time I wrote a letter asking
Absolutely.
All that in Space Above and Beyond, which is a series they could bring back.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we have to let you go, all right?
Okay.
All right, thank you
so much for taking the time to talk with me.
No problem. Thank you very much for being on.
You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you very much. And she's with the sciencefictionbuzz.com website. We thank her for being on the program. And